Hello, this is Richard Alamone on webtalkradio.net, talking this week about the apparent magic of dowsing. My guest is a past president of the American Society of Dowsers, which has 5,000 members. He was taught dowsing at a young age by his grandfather, eventually becoming a master dowser, teaching, demonstrating, and traveling the world. He is featured on television in the US, Japan, and Great Britain. So let's meet Leroy Bull.
Hello, Leroy.
Hello, Richard.
It's nice you could get to speak to me today at such short notice about dowsing.
Yes, I've had the great pleasure of even being in England and speaking at the British Society of Dowsers Convention. We had a wonderful time in your country.
Ah, yes. Yes, well, I think it's historically there's been a lot of dowsers and good dowsing in this country. I thought perhaps we could talk today about some of your experiences and how you do your dowsing. I'm particularly interested in looking for people or particular objects that have been lost and that sort of thing.
Okay. I've been dowsing for 57 years, and I really started in water, but the request for me is either earth energies, helping people with things around their house, or looking for lost dogs, cats, and people. And with the advent of the computers with Google Maps and latitude and longitude lines on them, it makes it a lot easier and faster for me to help locate things. Mm-hmm. So if somebody calls and says their child is missing and they tell me what town and what country, then my wife will log that in on the computer. And I quite literally douse the computer screen and give them the latitude, longitude, or the GPS location to go and try to find whatever it is that's lost. There's a lot of emotion around lost children and or older adults. Mm. And sometimes these people are not the easiest to talk to on the telephone because they're very vested and they're very excited and they do a lot of yelling and screaming.
Yeah. But of course, it's very often it's the emotion in these things which sort of helps the ability along, I guess.
That kind of energy can be used that way, but that does take some experience because if you're just beginning dowsing and an emotion comes up in the middle of your doing the dowsing routine, as it were, then those emotions are very powerful. And they can get in your way if you don't know how to use them at the time or go and deal with them and then come back and finish the dowsing session.
Yeah. Now, perhaps you could go through with me how you might search for a child.
Okay. I'll just tell you a story.
That's the best way to get a message across, isn't it? A story, yeah.
We got a telephone call one night from the state of Washington, and we live in the state of Pennsylvania, so it's all the way across the United States. And these two parents were on the other phone, and they were yelling and screaming at me about their lost child. And I had the telephone about 8 inches away from my ear, and my wife, two rooms away, could hear what they were saying. That's how loud they were. And rightfully worried and excited, their parents.
Yeah.
So when they finally slowed down and I could get a word in edgewise, I had already taken my pendulum and asked if the young man was still alive, and it said yes. So as soon as they slowed down, I said, "Your son is alive." And I said it very quickly to try to take some of the energy off of what they were trying to tell me. Because if they can't get rid of that energy or communicate to me, I can't help them. So. Mm. It turned out that the young man was not only an Eagle Scout, but he'd also had a survival training, and he packed his backpack to go to school in the morning, and after first period, he left, and he went out on the mountains in the state of Washington, and he knows how to duck the dogs and the helicopters. He's had training. So about a week after he disappeared, they called me, And I picked up my pendulum and I asked the universe, can I tell them where he is right now? And the pendulum said, no, I may not. I'm not allowed. I cannot do this. And I asked if the pendulum, I asked the pendulum if I can tell them where and when he would come out of the woods. The pendulum said, yes. So I doused by asking how many days forward he would walk out of the woods, at what time, a.m., p.m., and the time he would walk out of the woods, and gave them that information and asked them to send me, at that time, they sent me a map of the immediate mountain ranges around the town. And I marked the map and sent it back to them, and they called me one day afterwards and said that within 15 minutes he walked out of the woods, and waiting for him, heaven forbid, was the police, the truant officer, the parents, and everybody else, this forest ranger. Everybody sitting there waiting for him to come out of the woods, and he did. But mercy, did he get a reception?
That's a wonderful story. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not always given that you can douse for the specific information at any one time, but maybe at a time in the future.
And you do this by pendulum and looking at the map. And this is the bit that fascinates me. One sort of asks a question, yes or no, is he here or is he there? And the pendulum then tells you yes or no. Is that the system
that
you adopt?
Yeah. That's correct. And the method used for that is called map dowsing, which I have taught on four different continents, including yours. And in the United States, as they would say, I wrote the book, because the American Society of Dowsers, after I taught it for 10 years, asked me to write a book, a how-to book on map dowsing. Mm. So the how-to is to, of course, settle into yourself and be at one ment with Mother Nature and the universe. And some people would call that being an alpha, but that's a question. And put the map before you. And then I would take the pendulum in one hand and a pencil in the other and run the pencil down one side of the map. And when I got a yes, I would mark the edge of the map. And then I would go like across the bottom and with the pencil. And when the pendulum swung yes, I would mark that. And then I'd draw those two lines together. That really makes X marks the spot. And of course, your ability to stay in a meditative state or at one ment with the earth and the universe is your ability to douse.
Yes, I have a friend who persuaded me that dowsing was a good thing a few months ago and lent me a book, which I read. And in fact, I even went out and bought myself a little pendulum, but I'm not doing anything about it, really. You know, so I'm very interested in this.
So at this point, Leroy, I'm going to interject and talk about how magical and wonderful dowsing really is. How is it conceivably possible that an object or a person can be found just by thinking about it? Could it be something magical in the forked stick or the pendulum itself? No, of course not. So that only leaves the mind of the dowser. And Leroy just gave me the clue. The dowser has to keep a special meditative state in which he is at one with the earth and the universe. Although it seems quite unbelievable, that is the fact of the matter. The paranormal ability of a dowser is in fact to him quite normal. It doesn't just happen. You have to be taught and start at the beginning and gradually learn to find water. Then, with determination, it can lead to dowsing with a pendulum on a map to find objects of one sort or another. But it's all down to the meditating unconscious mind of the dowser, making a link with the earth and people. That link has to be some sort of telepathy, of course, and the rods or pendulum are only the means by which the conscious mind gets yes or no answers to questions put to the unconscious. And it does perhaps need a rather special person and a lot of training to get there. Dowsers do get there, sometimes, not all the time, of course. But in those circumstances, the dowser has to ask himself what went wrong and use it as part of the learning process. The whole business is a very complicated practical art.
One of the things that I wonder about is the length of the pendulum and the sort of swing of the pendulum. I rather think that's important. The swing should be sort of about 6 cycles. Is that something which dowsers are conscious of?
I think one of the most important things is what is the dowser comfortable with? In a very practical sense, the shorter the chain is, the faster it will swing. And you could say the sooner you would get an answer. That's not a requirement, but rather a reality of the world of physics. And how long a chain depends on what you're comfortable with in your hand. And some people get all excited about double terminated quartz crystals, or they get all excited about brass pendulums. The truth is, a paperclip on the end of a light string will do the same job. So if happiness for the dowser is having a double terminated quartz crystal on the end of a silver chain, then fine. Okay, that's what floats your boat. But the truth is, a pendulum is a weight on the end of an axis string, and it doesn't matter what it is unless you decide that it matters for you. So that is your sense of what you want or need.
Yeah, so the dowser has to just get used to his own pendulum and whether it gives him the correct yes or no answers. I suppose that's it, yeah.
Sure, and one of the most important things, and a thing I'm quoted at in several places in the world, and that is very much like a piano, the more you practice, the better you will get. And if you don't practice, you won't get much better. So it really is important in the beginning in particular to give yourself exercises on a reasonably regular basis and feel sense into. And in the very beginning, it's not bad to write down the questions that you want and write down the answers. And then if they were about future events, then go back and during the future event and see if you got the right answer. So you are getting positive reinforcement for the dowsing that you have done.
Yeah, magic. And I'm also interested in the modern technique where you can use Google Maps in a similar sort of way. Now, say you were searching for a dog or something like that, and what happens that way?
Yeah, and of course, as you start in on a project, not only is it good for you to feel into it and see if you have permission to do it, but one of the first questions to ask for Rover the Lost Dog is Rover still alive? And if you get a yes, the next question is Rover tethered, tied down, or is Rover loose and roaming around? Because that's why he's called Rover. If the dog is tethered, it's a whole lot easier to find. If the dog is roaming around, then for the owner to go and pick up the dog, you almost need to douse where the animal will be on the map when, so that the owner can show up there at that time and hope to see the dog and bring it home. If it's tethered, then it's fairly easy because you can get, if it's a street map of a town, for example, you can get the street name, and on some maps you can even count how many houses are on there. You can say the third house from the corner of Maple Street and High Street or something like that, and they can go there to that and see if the dog is in the dooryard. Mm. And so if you have permission, then go ahead and try these things out.
Yeah, I see. And one can use Google Maps.
You can either print them out and lay them on your table and put some tape on the corners so that when your pencil goes across, it doesn't move the map. But or you can douse it right on the computer screen. That's a little more cumbersome, I agree. But when the latitude and longitude numbers are right on the corner and edges of the computer screen, it's pretty handy. I had a guy call me from Texas, and he had bought a piece of land. He was a realtor, and it was quite a lot of land. You know, we're probably talking 500 or 600 acres, and he was going to develop it. But the local people told him that Native Americans had had encampments there, and in the United States, it's illegal to dig or disturb graves of Native Americans. So he called me and set up a time to call me back the next day, and he gave me the address of the place, and my wife popped it on the screen, and this is how fast this can all happen. And, you know, this didn't take 10 minutes when it came to the time. Mm-hmm. She popped it on the screen, and she got the exact property. I map-doused it, and while I'm talking to him on the phone, and he has a phone line open to a cell phone to a worker on that property who has a portable GPS meter. So I told him, yes, there were Native American graves, but they were all in one area. I gave him the coordinates of the outside edges of the graveyard. And he, well, he had me on one ear. He picked up the cell phone with the other hand and talked to the person in the field, gave the coordinates, which the man could find with the portable GPS, mm-hmm. And he marked out that area, and they never dug there. They never put houses there. So it's really, with the modern conveniences, it can go very quickly.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. I like that.
Yeah. I've been dowsing since I was 12, and I'm 66 years old, so I've got a lot of stories.
Yeah. And did you start with forked sticks or sticks of some sort before you got around a pendulum?
Most definitely. My grandfather mm-hmm. was a dairy farmer in the state of New York, and he taught kids, his grandkids, how to douse. And he would hand us a forked stick and show us how to hold it, and then he would tell us which way to walk slowly and see if we got a result, a reaction on the forked stick. And of course, that's okay too. So it went down the first time for me, so he had a pretty good idea that I could do this.
Yes, I played with that system myself many years ago, but I didn't have any instruction. I didn't really know what I was doing, and I tended to write the whole thing off as a sort of stupidity and make-believe, but I've grown up, and I understand a lot about the paranormal nowadays, and I'm a firm believer that dowsing does work. I've spoken
different
to people and so on.
Because of the way they work, different tools sometimes have conveniences at certain times. If you are outside walking around and it's windy, then you really don't want a pendulum swinging in your hand because you have to hold it in close to your tummy and put your back to the wind in order for it not to be blown by the wind. But if you have a wire rod in your hand, you know, that thing is sort of spring-loaded, and the wind will not blow that wire rod. So there can be real practical things for which you would use one tool and not another.
Well, that's marvelous. One theory I've got about water dowsing is that what the dowser detects is not actually the water, but the quartz stones, the little thing, there's underground water flowing, and one always would get little quartz stones. And I'm of the opinion that the dowser picks up on the quartz rather than the water. Have you ever heard of that one? That's my own theory, I have to say, so maybe.
Well, I've heard one similar, and that is that as it sort of joins with that one, that when water runs through the cracks and crevices in the ground, as time goes by, the frequency that is water is imparted into the stone or quartz that is part of the crack in the ground, the underground stream. And some people would say if they felt water and drilled there and didn't get any, they would say that they felt the frequency of the part-time vein that was in the stone or quartz, and that it was the frequency of water, but there wasn't any water there. That is one interesting theory. I go all the way to E equals MC squared in the new physics, and that is that everything in this universe, let alone the Earth, vibrates to a frequency, including us. Our aura actually has frequency. And what we are doing as dowsers is training or retraining our minds to find the frequency of whatever it is that we're looking for. For me, as I walk across a field, I feel that I walk into the energy or frequency that is water, that is a water vein down underneath the ground. I walk through it and out the other side. Now, for actual drilling, you may want to know where the center of that water vein is. And a strange one, I've taught thousands and thousands of people how to douse, and many of them walk into the energy that is water through it, and as they walk out the far side, that's when their pendulum swings or their wire rod wiggles. And I have no explanation for that, but it is interesting that they pick it up, so to speak, on the way out rather than on the way in. I would say that E equals MC squared, and in that equation is frequency, which any scientist will tell you, and that almost any frequency is available to you at almost any time. And the only time you can't delve into a frequency is when it isn't any of your business, or it's somebody else's business, not yours. Mm. And if you do not get permission to douse into something and it's not your business, you'll probably get wrong answers. Because the universe is compensating for the people or person that you're dowsing toward.
Yeah. If you're looking for a person, how does that relate to the person, I ask?
Okay. The person has a frequency, which, of course, you can pick up. But with people, maybe one of the early questions, very early questions, is do they want to be found?
Mm.
You know, can I, may I, and is this an appropriate time for me to douse for this person? And you can use their name. And if you get a yes, then the next question might be, do they wish to be found by this method or technique? Or do they wish to be found at this time by this method or technique? If you get a no, you might as well put the pendulum down. Because if you get an answer, it's going to be a wrong answer.
It's a wonderful world, is dowsing. I don't understand it, but I'm so pleased to talk to somebody like yourself, as you call yourself, a master dowser, and been at it for a long, long time.
There's a folk way in the American Society of Dowsers that says when you've done 1,000 water wells, you've become a master dowser. I guess that's a pretty good designation. And I've done 3,000 water wells on 4 continents. And I've been to Japan 12 times to find time capsules buried by grade school kids 20, 25, or 30 years ago. And I've been on television over there for 3 years finding these time capsules. The Japanese people love it. They really eat this kind of parapsychology up. When they get home from a long day's work, they want some kind of relaxation, and this kind of does it for them.
But I'm sure it's the same the world over. Everybody's interested in all aspects of the paranormal. Well, I say everybody. Most people are interested in all aspects. And dowsing is one of many. I've had perhaps 20 or 30 people talking about different things on my program. And it's all things which people don't understand, but they're quite happy to accept it after hearing that it is normal, and hopefully people will have realized that dowsing is normal to somebody like yourself.
My father-in-law was a civil engineer, and my wife is a biochemist biophysicist, and after helping my father-in-law with a couple of dowsing jobs around his home, he was a very direct person, and he would walk straight up to you and get very close to you and tell you what exactly he was thinking. My wife and I were walking toward the house one day, and Oscar came out of the house and walked straight in front of the two of us, and he looked straight at me, and he said, "It is evidentially true." And he turned around and he walked back in the house. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, "I wonder what he's talking about," because he didn't say what was evidentially true. But we figured it out by the time we got to the house that he was talking about the two or three dowsing projects that I had done for him and with him. And for him, a scientist and an engineer, he had to observe it for a while before it would settle in and be acceptable to him. And the other thing that I find over the many years is, 50 years ago, two or three doctors would get together and they'd put up a building and they would call it the Smithville Psychiatric Center or whatever. And now three or four doctors get together and they put up a building and they call it the Smithville Energy Center or Smithville Wellness Center. There's a great deal of difference in the feeling of those two titles.
Yeah.
The first one talks all about money for BMWs. That's what it does. The second one has to do with the people and the energy. It's really beautiful to see.
Yeah. Well, there has been a change. That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you have a website, do you?
No, not at this time, I'm sorry to say. No. It's down right now being refurbished.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I got your information from the American Society of Dowsers, I think. But you have published a book, and that was called?
The Art and Craft of Map Dowsing. And if anybody wanted it, they could contact the American Society of Dowsers and order it from them, or they can contact me and I would send it, whichever.
Yeah.
It is a how-to book. It's not 1,000 pages of philosophy. It's a how-to book, and it even has test maps in there for the people to try out, and the answers are on a separate page. They can see how they did.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, it's really practical.
Yeah. Now, I believe you have another appointment for too long. So
yes, I do.
We better say goodbye.
And Happy New Year.
Thank you, Leroy, for talking to me, and a Happy New Year to you as well.
Have a good day.
Okay, thanks, and you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So this week we've learnt a great deal about the details of the art of dowsing, which I believe is best learnt at a young age, which was the case with Leroy Bull. I was particularly fascinated by Lee's story about the boy who ran away from school to go camping in the hills. The only thing that Lee discovered was his position in a wood and the time when he had decided to come out. What must the boy have felt like, I asked, when he came out to meet the reception party? Leroy said it's all down to a focused meditation in which things can be observed from afar, very much like remote viewing, but where the answers come out by the use of rods or pendulum. With remote viewing, it is normal to use pen and paper with the brain directing the automatic writing. Dowsers generally have a pendulum which swings at about theta rhythm, that's 6 cycles per second, which is the brain's frequency for deep intuitive trance. I do believe that this is the key to how it works, but some insist that it's really seeing in the infrared or by location, whatever is meant by that. Leroy Bull, with his vast experience, gave us a fascinating insight into many of the practical details of dowsing, as well as giving some thought on my theory that quartz is what the dowser detects in water, oil or mineral dowsing. And this removes some of the mystery of that type of dowsing. I must give many thanks to Leroy Bull for talking to us today. There are very few people about with his level of expertise. This is Richard Allibone on webtalkradio.net. Listen again to learn about the ways that paranormal is quite normal. Bye for now.